listening to A Matter of Taste with Rachel and David Michael Caine. That's us, 3:15 here on Talk 910 KNEW. Very happy to welcome back to A Matter of Taste. It's been a while. Dan, the produce man, has been in several facets of the fresh produce business for 29 years in the Bay Area. He's also co-host of the Produce Pair radio show, heard on stations around the country, and he's been a guest on TV shows nationally and locally. He appears from time to time in Bay Area People on KTVU Channel 2. And his feature article, Getting Fresh with Dan the Produce Man, appears bi-monthly in Alameda Magazine, as well as Produce Pointers in the Alameda Sun. It's good to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
And hey, let's get fresh, Dan.
And I'll tell you something. You certainly come armed. If you could see what Dan brought into the studio.
The bounty of the produce. And just when we're thinking there's nothing happening in the farmer's markets today.
Absolutely. He totally says, oh, yes, there is something definitely happening.
He's just not looking.
I want to give out the phone number. If you've got any questions about produce, vegetables, anything, we're also going to have a contest. And the contest, we're going to ask a question, and it'll be something that you might be able to play. The telephone number, of course, write it down, 1-800-345-5639. That's 1-800-345-KNEW.
Well, first, we're going to tease everybody with...
You want to tease?
Let's talk a little bit about what Dan brought.
Well, I'm blown away. First off, I didn't think there were any tomatoes that were possible to eat right now.
You were just crying about the tomatoes.
I'm crying in my...
And yet here they are. Where do they come from?
All right, well, first of all, this time of the year, you know that the only flavor you're going to get out of a tomato is in a cherry type of tomato.
Right.
And that's great, but not for slicing. And I brought something called the ugly ripe tomato. Now, this tomato... is the most controversial tomato that you will find.
Is it genetically engineered?
No, it isn't. The controversy is over getting it to us. You see, the Procacci brothers developed this tomato because for years, all we had was cardboard-tasting tomatoes during the winter.
Right.
So they developed an heirloom tomato for the winter. They're in Florida. And you know, in Florida, you grow tomatoes in the winter because in the summer it's too hot.
Right.
And this tomato is just full of flavor. Anyone who loves tomatoes, this, you know...
Do you have to sell your firstborn to get it?
Well, it is pricey, but hey, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if it's good, I'm going to spend the money on it.
That's true. David spends the money on it, and it's bad. So, when he's not getting an heirloom.
Well, I guarantee he'll be buying these after a while. Now,
this looks like a brandy wine. I mean, it's big. This is a gigantic tomato. It looks like a tomato, and it smells like a tomato.
Absolutely. And David, you know what? It tastes like a tomato as well. It tastes great. The problem is that the Florida Tomato Commission gave the Procacci brothers 3 years to grow this tomato and develop it. Well, it's been developed, but grow it and get it out. So for 3 years, they're riding real well, growing this tomato, distributing it all over the country. We're getting this great tomato during the wintertime. And then for the fourth season, they put the clamp on them and said, this does not meet Florida Tomato Committee's standards for a round tomato. And you may no longer distribute this tomato whatsoever outside of Florida.
It looks like an heirloom tomato, which they're not round and they're not uniform.
Exactly. And, you know, to be able to meet Florida's specs, they would have to throw away 7 out of 10 of these tomatoes every time to meet the standards.
So is this a contraband tomato?
Well, this is grown in Mexico.
Oh. See,
that's one way around it. But they lost $2.8 million on this tomato.
Amazing.
Because the fourth year, they added all this acreage and said, man, this thing's happening. And consumers don't care if the tomato's round. This is grown for flavor, not for round. And there is something people can do about it, too.
What?
Well, you go on at www.uglyripe, U-G-L-Y-R-I-P-E, uglyripe.com, and write your congressperson and tell them, lift this ridiculous Florida Tomato Committee ban on round tomatoes.
That is amazing.
I mean, Florida's been a pretty controversial state to begin with.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on down in Florida, but, you know, couldn't they come up with something a little bit more important than the roundness of a tomato?
Yeah, yeah, like the votes, maybe? The
it reminds me of that movie Amadeus, when they said he has, your music's great, but there's too many notes. Isn't that ridiculous?
There was something really weird about that. I am looking here at some of the most incredible...
Let's talk about weird for a minute.
Yeah, what's weird?
What are the weird things that you brought? And then we'll do the contest of what we think.
Oh, we got something weird. You just tell us.
Well, real quick, I do want to tell folks they can get this ugly ripe tomato, a Mexican-grown variety, at the Ferry Plaza at the Farmer's Garden. Wayne, the guy who owns that store, is very devoted to the growers, and he owns a lot of land in Mexico himself. So you can get a good-tasting tomato if you head on down to the Ferry Plaza.
Incredible.
So, well, there's all kinds of things here. You know, it's stagnant time of the year, for a lot of folks.
Well, produce, that's what happened to me. Bored. I went to the farmer's market the other day, and they had apples, and they had some winter squash, but they were sort of in the transition period, and I got a little bit uninspired.
Well, the apples are out of storage.
And
that's fine. You know, that's fine. The apples out of storage, they put them in controlled atmosphere so that they can slowly distribute them throughout the year. There's nothing wrong with them. It's not as good as a fresh-picked apple. The winter squash, some's out of Mexico, but if you're at the farmer's market, then some growers still have some hanging around.
And the other thing I noticed was that when there was springy kind of summer produce in the stores, it was so expensive, I didn't want to buy it.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's because it's imported from other countries. The peaches and the nectarines, Chile does an okay job. If you're in Chile, they do a great job, okay? Getting them here is another story. I don't want to see people go into the stores right now, get these peaches, and be unhappy with them, and then not try them again in the summertime.
Right. I want to find out more about how they pick them, when they pick them, and how they can keep them so long till they get here for the trip. But we'll do that right after the break.
We will. After the break, Dan, the produce man, is here with us. We'll tell you also, I've just found a bag of great oh-so-sweets, you know, getting down the end of the season.
Oh, yes.
Chile does produce something great. It's those onions that are so fantastic for onions you can eat like an apple. We're going to have our trivia question, so you get an opportunity to win dinner for two at a choice of your restaurant, depending on where you live. A restaurant of your choice. We'll let you know what that is when A Matter of Taste continues here at 3:22 on Talk 910, KNEW.
If you would like to join the conversation, call us at 1-800-345-KNEW. That's 1-800-345-5639.
Can have with this lettuce and this kind of tomato.
Absolutely.
And the produce man is with us. Here's a contest. So we're going to give you an opportunity to win dinner. And there are three restaurants in three different areas. You can either win a dinner at McCormick and Coletto's in Ghirardelli Square. You can win a dinner at Spanger's Fresh Fish Grotto on 4th Street in Berkeley. Or if you're up in the north area, the Seafood Brasserie at 170 Railroad Street in Santa Rosa. Here's a question. Here's the number, 1-800-345-KNEW, 1-800-345-5639. We're going to give a little contest.
Okay. What is the proper word for the custard apple? Or what else is it known as, the custard apple? What is it, folks?
It is a fruit. We'll give you that. It is a fruit.
Oh, well, you shouldn't have given him that.
Well, it's a fruit. A custard apple.
Custard apple.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it's known as. Well, I don't know how easy it is. I mean, someone may know it, or they may not. There's a real name for it. What is the name of this fruit? If you think you know and you're up for dinner, give us a buzz. 1-800-345-5639. That's 1-800-345-KNEW. What's the real name of a custard?
Well, I thought I knew the name of what broccoli meant, but looking at these things that Dan brought, you have several different kinds of broccoli that are pretty interesting.
Broccoli's in the cabbage family, and there's several. Kale is a broccoli. If you let it flower, it'll have little broccoli buds on it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got radish broccoli here and broccoli de Chico, which I haven't seen in the grocery stores. I picked these up at the farmer's market as well. Marquita Farms really does a good job, and he's always bringing some sort of broccoli-type green with the bud and the green attached. Just delicious.
It almost looks like broccoli rabe, no, but that's a different product also.
No, that's right, but he also brings that too.
Mm-hmm.
That's known more of a mustardy type of broccoli. The leaf on it's a mustard.
And do you cook them all the same way?
Oh, well, you know, you can steam those, you can saute them with olive oil and garlic or any other way that you like to. They're just delicious. What's good about it is I can get my kids to eat several different types of broccoli.
There you go. I liked it just eating it the way it was without cooking it.
Oh, yeah. Intense flavor there in the radish broccoli. Throw that into a salad, and you can just really spice it up.
Then you can finish it up with a custard apple. Come on, who knows what the real name of a custard apple is?
You know, with the internet today, there's no excuse for not having the answer to almost anything. Hint, hint, hint.
If you think you know what it is and you would like gift certificate for dinner at either McCormick and Coletto's in Ghirardelli Square, 900 North Point Street, or the Seafood Brasserie in Santa Rosa, or Spenger's Fresh Fish Grotto. Give us a call. Tell us what the name of the fruit is. And it is a fruit. It's a custard apple, but what is the name, the real name of it? Our toll-free number, 1-800-345-5639. Take a guess, or Google a guess. It's out there in the world, so somebody's got to be able to get it.
Yeah,
so somebody will figure that out.
Of the things that you brought, what are we looking forward to coming around first in the new season of fruits and vegetables?
Well, the real stars of this particular moment of the season are, of course, artichokes, asparagus, and now strawberries, now that the rains have stopped and it wiped them out.
But now you have the good guy strawberries and the bad guy strawberries.
Well,
what separates them, and how can you tell?
Okay, very good. The strawberries that were grown under canopies in Watsonville are going to be nice, bright red and ready to roll. And strawberries that were grown outside in the sunshine, or I should say the rain shine that we had here. Don't forget about the rain, folks.
Well,
those are the best.
We're going to have to take a two-minute news break. The phones are lit up.
Don't hang up. If you're guessing, stay on the line.
Yep, stay on the line. The phone number is 800-345-5639. What is the true name of the fruit known as a custard apple? We'll be back in 2 minutes after the news here on Talk 910 KNEW. You're listening to A Matter of Taste.
KNEW rocks. KNEW has more stimulating talk. Talk 910.
Rachel and David Michael Caine.
Welcome back. Our phones are all lit up. We have, the question was, what is the name of the fruit known as the custard apple? And we're going to speak to Ron calling from Sonoma. Ron, welcome to A Matter of Taste.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good, good. Would you like to take a crack at what is the name of that?
I think it might be a mangosteen.
A mangosteen.
What is a mangosteen?
Oh, mangosteen you can't get here in the United States, for one thing.
That's true.
But no, that's not quite the answer there.
Yeah, like Korea. Vietnam, yeah.
Right, Vietnam, exactly. I'm trying to think of the other
also
fruit that it has.
That segment.
Exactly.
Right.
Segmented fruit.
Right.
It's a segmented fruit. That's not it, but
thank you. That is the guess, but thank you so much for offering that up.
Ron, thanks. And thanks for listening.
Right.
Let's talk to Debbie, who's calling from Mountain View. Debbie, hi. Welcome to A Matter of Taste.
Thank you.
Hi. What is your guess?
Is it a persimmon?
A persimmon. No, it's not a persimmon. And so
describe
we know
a persimmon now, Dan.
Well, again, out of season. However, you can find some at the farmer's market out of storage. Two varieties of persimmons, the Hichia and the Fuyu. And you don't want to eat the Hichia hard, but you can eat the Fuyu hard. Flat, hard, cone-shaped, soft, 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 soft.
Sweet?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sweet like cotton candy.
Debbie, I'm sorry that you didn't get it, but thank you for listening to A Matter of Taste. Let's talk to Mary, who's calling from San Francisco. Mary, welcome to KNEW, A Matter of Taste.
Yeah. Hello, Michael.
Hi, it's David.
It's David.
Yeah, I mean David.
That's all right.
Okay.
I'm here anyway.
Yeah.
All right, would you like to take a guess? What is that custard apple?
I think it's durian, isn't it?
Durian. No, it's not. Even though they say durian tastes like custard when it's eaten in a sewer, it's a very pungent fruit.
It comes from
the Orient, and there's a number of durians I've seen their hotels don't even allow durian in.
No.
But that isn't the answer.
Well, I know what durian is. It's they used to, because I lived in Bangkok for a short while.
Oh, and you sure do.
Yeah, and they say you put a clothespin on your nose and cut it open.
Right.
The inside is custard.
Yeah, it's custard, but that's not the custard apple.
Yeah, okay.
But well, thank you, Mary.
Love your program.
Thank you.
Let's talk to Megan, who's calling from Alameda. Megan, welcome to A Matter of Taste.
Thanks.
So, what is your guess? What is a custard apple?
Pawpaw or papaya?
Papaya.
Very close. Very close.
Nope, it's not
a cigar.
Different texture, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the pawpaw sometimes is called that custard apple, but it's not the main custard apple.
I know we're eventually going to get it. Let's talk to Trudy, who's calling from San Francisco. Hi, Trudy. Welcome to A Matter of Taste.
Hi. I am guessing it's an Asian pear.
An Asian pear. No, unfortunately, it's not.
Isn't.
I'm sorry. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for
Listen to the answer. Someone's going to get it, I know.
Let's talk to Heidi. Heidi's calling from Sandra Fell. Heidi, welcome to A Matter of Taste here on Talk 910 KNEW. Are you there? I'm sorry, Joanne. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Joanne. Pardon me. You want to take a guess?
It's cherimoya.
A cherimoya.
Hey, finally. Right. How do you know what a cherimoya is? Do you eat it?
I've had them and I love them, but at $4.95 a pound, they're a little expensive.
Well, you can say that again. But they're worth every penny.
They are worth every penny. They're very, very
so
good.
So describe what it tastes like, Dan.
Oh, I wish I could.
Dan can.
Well, it's kind of like pineapple-ish, banana-ish,
yep.
With a few other tropical.
And actually,
in
we
there.
Had it in South America,
oh.
And they added orange juice
right.
on the top of it, so it brought out the flavor of the cherimoya.
You know, when you eat those, they gotta get them dead ripe. There's certain varieties, but the two varieties that we have here, one of them is dead ripe. It almost looks like it's rotten. That's when they're sweet and delicious. And then the greener variety that stays green while it's ripe is also very good, but I prefer the one that turns black.
Me too.
So Joanne, you've won a choice of $75 dinner certificate either at McCormick and Coletto's at Ghirardelli Square in San Francisco, Spanger's Fish Grotto on 4th Street in Berkeley, or the Seafood Brasserie in Santa Rosa at 170 Railroad Street. What would you like us to send you?
Could I take it as lunch instead of dinner?
You could.
All right. Let's try the Ghirardelli.
All right. We'll get you a certificate for lunch at McCormick and Coletto's at Ghirardelli Square, 900 North Point Street. You hang on the line, and we'll get your address, and they'll go out in tomorrow's mail. How's that?
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
And keep eating those cherimoyas.
All right.
And we did get another guest for cherimoya.
I think there's another guest. Let's see if Joe is still on the line. Joe, are you on the line?
I am. Hello.
Hi. Did you you had a guest, but what was your guess?
It was the cherimoya. That's what I told your screener.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you weren't first up, but I just wanted to at least say hello. Thank you so much for being a listener on A Matter of Taste. We really appreciate it.
Thank
you. How did you enjoy your last dinner that you won?
I was speechless, and it was the most incredible experience. Really fabulous. Thank you so much.
Well, we should say that you were a contest winner.
You did it
go
right.
to Gary Danko for dinner,
yes.
and it was wonderful.
It was unbelievable. It was the finest dining experience of my life. Really.
I'm glad.
Really, really. It was just amazing. In every way, they really treated my sister and I like winners. It was perfect.
Well,
it was just perfect.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I think that's great.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's
thanks
our
for
pleasure.
Your show.
Oh, well, you keep listening and keep answering those questions.
I will. Thanks a lot.
All right, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks
okay,
for playing. Bye-bye. Well, cherimoya, it is really an interesting fruit. The first time I saw cherimoya, to describe it as kind of like a pale green, sort of like a rough-edged fruit. And when you get into it, it's this beautiful, beautiful, creamy texture. And you say, like, it's custardy and sort of apple-y.
The flavor is just incredible.
We had it in Santiago when we first arrived. It was served at first lunch. We just sat down at lunch, and one of the people we were meeting, we had just been introduced, and he said, oh, you have to taste this cherimoya. And I had had it at the farmer's market before, but I was never, I never really had a perfect one. This was addictive. This was really a phenomenal flavor. Really great fruit, and
yes.
Of course, they just grow like I think it was it was November.
Yeah.
We were in Chile, and it was perfectly ripe at that time.
It was
beautiful.
Let's talk about some of the other fruit that you brought along. I love the next thing we're going to talk about, blood oranges.
Oh,
are they fantastic?
You know, there's three varieties that we get most commonly here in the United States. Sanguinella, the Moro, and the Turaco. These are Turacos.
And where are they from?
Well, they're from California. I mean, it's a Spanish-Italian orange, and you've traveled the world, so that's the main orange in Spain and Italy. But here, they're a novelty item, still making their way into the mainstream. But I'll tell you, you want to jazz up a good Greyhound, which is, vodka and grapefruit juice.
I thought it was a dog.
No, Greyhound's vodka and grapefruit juice.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, you fresh squeeze some of this blood orange and pour it in there. And,
ooh,
man, I tell you, you better watch
good.
Out.
That sounds like a really great drink. We've got plenty more in the produce department here. I'm just absolutely blown away. I have sunglasses on because the brightness of the colors are just shocking here in the studio at KNEW. We're going to take a break. We will return with more flavor with Dan the Produce Man here on Talk 910 KNEW.
And I go to see my grandma, I gain a lot of weight. With her dear hand, she gives me plate after plate. She cans the pickles sweet and dill. She cans the songs of the whippoorwill and the morning dew and the evening moon. And I really gotta go see her pretty soon, cause these canned goods I buy at the store ain't got the summer in them anymore.
Difference between canned goods. Hey, yeah. Cucumbers are around right now.
Oh, wait, yeah, cucumbers are out of, you know, there's cucumbers that come up from Mexico this time of the year and out of Florida.
Make good pickles.
Oh, yeah, well, a lot of pickles are growing.
Yeah, how about, let's talk about the asparagus and artichokes. Yeah.
Well, sure, I mean, it's asparagus and artichoke season right now. We've got asparagus coming on out of the Delta. Was held back because of the rains that we had. Everything was affected by the rains we had. And the warm weather comes and everybody kind of forgets about it. Anyway, the asparagus is coming on now, so that's what we need to know. And there's plenty of it. And, you know, some folks want it thick, some folks want it thin. As far as I'm concerned, I'll eat it thick, thin, medium. I love it.
I don't like them when they're pencil thin. I think they've got to be a little bit.
And I like them when you
starting thick and peeling them.
Peel them.
Yeah.
Well, yes, you can do that. In fact, there's special asparagus peelers out there that you
really?
Can use. Sure. And then, of course, the best way to stand these things up
in
is,
water.
To cook them is to stand them up.
But what about keeping them in the refrigerator?
Well, you know, asparagus, you want to buy it, you want to eat it, cook it. Look at the tips and smell them. If they stink, obviously, stay away from it, okay? And look at the butt end as well to make sure that there's no holes in the butt, that it's freshly cut and clean. And then, again, with the tips, make sure the furrows are nice and tight and they aren't ratty at all. And lift the rubber band when you're buying asparagus bunches. If you see indentations into the asparagus underneath that rubber band, that stuff's old. Stay away from it.
Mm. Do you break off the bottoms naturally where they break, or are you...
Yeah, for years, folks complained in the store coming in, there's too woody on the bottom. But, you know, that woodiness is what keeps the rest of the asparagus nice and fresh. It's living off of what's in that woodiness, the lot of moisture in there. But, yes, you have to cut it off. I will usually cut my asparagus off right above the bottom rubber band.
Really? Above
yes.
the bottom?
What about breaking them? Where they break naturally? If you just take one over, just like when you just bend it, it snaps.
Okay.
To me, that's all. It's like this is. See, sure. I probably could have gotten a little bit longer than that.
Well, that's right where the rubber band was.
Yeah, it's pretty close to it. And that's what I like to leave it in the rubber band, just cut it that way.
Mm.
To me, I just...
That's good enough.
You know, I don't want to spend any time on it.
Right.
Let me ask you a question about asparagus for a moment. We've seen in the markets white asparagus quite often is imported, but the difference between white asparagus and green asparagus is actually not that complex, is it?
No, they just bury it when it starts to pop up out of the ground. They throw more dirt on it to keep the sunlight off of it so that no chlorophyll, no color, and it's just white asparagus. Plenty of it's grown here, too. Mm-hmm. They used to import a lot of it. But hey, we can bury our asparagus here since
good as anyone.
We got good dirt. Why not? I see you also have artichokes. What's unusual about these artichokes?
Well, not really unusual. They're organically grown, and they're I can't remember the variety name. There's several varieties of artichokes.
Oh, that's not a globe. I know there's such a thing as a globe.
Right, the green globe, the imperial star. Yeah. But these feel that artichoke. It's nice and firm. And you want to listen for the squeak with those artichokes as well.
Okay, let's
hear that.
Squeak them.
Not really.
Squeaking a squeaky artichoke here in the microphone.
Yeah, well, you can also do something like this, too.
Oh, there we go. Now, what's the best way to cook artichokes? David and I have this constant battle between
debate.
The way he wants to do it and the way I want to do it.
You call it a battle.
That's
call
right.
You know, there are several ways to cook artichokes, as you
such
know.
A diplomat, Dan.
Everybody has their way. You know, there's times where I'll just throw the things into a pot of boiling water. Other times where I'll take the scissors and I'll cut the thorny ends off and go through the process.
Will you steam them ever?
Yes. I do like to steam them. It takes a little bit longer, but right when you can stick a fork right into the stem area, below the stem or above the stem where the heart would be, and it goes in easy and comes out easy, you're fine. You don't want to do it any before that, because if you notice when you touch around an artichoke and then you touch your tongue, man, it's bitter.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look for big thorns, but mostly a big thick stem, because a big thick stem will tell you that there's a big thick heart in that artichoke, and we like big-hearted artichokes.
Well, I like steaming them because I really get the true flavor. I used to have this elaborate concoction. I did boil them, and I put olive oil, and I put a little bit of vinegar, and I would put pepper and garlic, crushed garlic in the water, and then boil them up. And it really tasted pretty good. But to me, I still think if you've got a good quality artichoke, steaming them is the best way to get that flavor.
Yeah, that way you don't get them waterlogged.
And then I adulterate it by putting on mayonnaise and, you know, dippy stuff.
I have a tip for folks who like mayonnaise and artichokes but don't want the cholesterol. Veganaise, I found it. Veganaise tastes just like mayonnaise to me without the egg in it.
Like Hellman's or Best Foods?
I don't think so.
I'm telling you, my son's a mayonnaise fanatic, and he won't eat different kinds of Best Foods, but Veganaise he'll eat.
Really?
And it's not the soy-based stuff. This is really good stuff. You get it in the refrigerated section. I've picked it up at Whole Foods and places like that. Hey, you know what? If you're watching your cholesterol, Veganaise is the way to go.
Which I'm not.
Okay.
And I'm not being paid by them either. So.
Okay. Rhubarb. Nothing I've ever had with rhubarb has thrilled me. What is it that you either love or don't love about rhubarb?
Well, let me tell you something. Rhubarb grew wild when I was a kid in Vermont running around. We used to pick it and eat it just like that, just as sour as it is.
Like a piece of celery?
But I thought you didn't eat the leaves because I've heard
the
leaves are toxic.
Yeah, they'll kill you.
Oh. Nope. Yeah, that's toxic.
But the rhubarb stalk itself is absolutely delicious. The rib, I should say. And, you know, it's strawberry season now. Rhubarb, strawberry pie. Folks love it. John Fogerty sings about it.
Yeah, it looks like
stuff.
It wants to be a vegetable in the vegetable world, and I always see it paired with fruit.
Because you think it's red celery.
Well, because to sell it, they're cross-merchandising it with the strawberries to push that strawberry rhubarb compote or pie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's plenty available, California and Oregon greenhouses. Okay, squash, winter squash. It's not really winter squash season, but you know what? This comes to us from New Zealand.
Huh.
And it's...
Does it come all the way cut in packets like that?
Yeah, it's cut and wrapped, so you don't have to cut the squash. You don't have to pull out the seeds. It's distributed by Garden Highway, which does the best processing job, I think, of fresh-cut fruits and vegetables.
You were mentioning there's a whole issue with fresh-cut watermelons and things that in supermarkets.
In fact, you see this fresh-cut watermelon also was actually done by Garden Highway outside of the store facility. That way you don't worry about keeping knives clean and solution and sanitized. The outside company carries all the HACCP, Hazard Analysis Critical Control Points, the sanitization regulations that go with cutting fruit. It's on them. It's their responsibility, and they're set up to do it. They're the experts. No longer do in-store produce clerks have to cut the melons.
Is that a good thing for them not to have to, or does it seem like it's not so fresh to us?
Oh, no, this is fresh. They pick it, they pack it, they cut it, and they pack it, and they get it out. This is in the stores within 24 to 48 hours. It's done well, and you can see the wrap job.
Yeah, it looks great.
Really keeps this
stuff. And you get to really see inside of it, so you know it's not a rotten
something. And they're only going to wrap and cut watermelons that are ready to go. Usually, you know, in stores, sometimes they'll get a clerk in there who'll cut a pink one, just not quite ready.
Right.
This way, it's avoided.
That's great.
Got more of this beautiful bounty, a cornucopia, actually. Dan, the produce man, is with us. You are listening to A Matter of Taste here on Talk 910 KNEW. More when we return straight ahead.
Once again, Rachel and David Michael Caine.
And if you happen to see 7x7 March issue of their magazine, on page 73, there's a little story about the pastrami and a great picture of a wonderful pastrami
It'll
sandwich.
It'll make you want a sandwich.
It will definitely get your mouth watering.
We're talking with Dan, the produce man, and I'm reading an article he wrote in the Alameda magazine.
The Alameda magazine.
About eating cabbage in a rainbow of colors. He brought some interesting cabbage. It's a little tiny baby beautiful thing.
It's time for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, it's St. Patrick's Day.
I've never seen one that looked like that.
These don't make it to the regular stores, but they're beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, where
it's just nice. This has all the wrapper leaves.
Well, it's the size of a softball.
Yes, that's right. And the outer leaves are great for stuffing, doing stuffed cabbage.
Right. Nice. Will it taste different than the regular cabbage?
Well, it's more green, so it could variate in flavor. The further into the core you get, the sweeter it gets. But it's absolutely delicious. And I bought this at the farmer's market, so you won't even see that in the grocery store. Little small cabbages, folks. Fennel.
Speaking of small and baby.
Baby
fennel. That is the
baby
most beautiful
fennel.
Little sweet fennel thing I've seen.
Now, what I did with the fennel was I cored it, I chopped it up really fine, mixed it with some chopped garlic and other herbs, and I used that for stuffing the artichokes, and it was Absolutely really? Delicious.
And you can take fennel. You don't have to cook fennel, by the way.
No.
You just shave it really thin with a little bit of great quality extra virgin olive oil, some cracked pepper and salt, and that's really all you need.
Man, oh, man, it sounds great. I never did it that way, but now I will.
I'm looking at some beautiful Meyer lemons.
You're a Meyer lemon lover.
I'm a major Meyer lemon lover. And a lot of people who don't know Meyer lemon say, well, you know, lemon's too tart. There's something about a Meyer. It's actually a cross between a type of orange and a lemon.
Right, a tangerine type of citrus fruit and a lemon, and very oily.
Yep.
Now, you would know better than I would how to get the zest off of a Meyer lemon easier than you would off of a
plain grater.
Oh, well, then there you go, microplane grater. Because, you know, it's an oily lemon. And, yeah. You know, when I work with these lemons, I get the oil on my fingers. I don't want to wash my hands after that because it just smells so good. And the flavor of the Meyer lemon is outstanding. And they grow on trees all over here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, we need to plant one of our own. Talk about broccoli and cauliflower and broccoli flower.
Well, okay, broccoli flower is actually really a green cauliflower. It's a variety of cauliflower that's green.
Does it turn white when you cook it?
No, it doesn't. It stays green. And then there's the orange cauliflower by Colorful Harvest. That just came out. It was discovered in a swamp in 1970.
Did they mix it with a carrot?
No, actually, it's its own variety.
Really?
It was a runt variety that was discovered in a swamp in Canada, and it was crossbred and crossbred with your regular white cauliflower to develop this particular big orange cauliflower. And
is it good?
Full of beta carotene. It's on the market now in the stores.
Wow.
Psychedelic cauliflower.
What do we get to look forward to next?
Next, well, you know, asparagus, artichokes, and strawberries are the gateway to the spring season. Now, it's March. Spring starts next week. So we're going to ride the strawberries, the artichokes, and the asparagus right into apricots and cherries, depending
on
how much loss has happened. A lot of blossoms were washed off the trees in these rains. We'll see what happens.
I was asking you earlier about how they pick fruit in foreign countries and get it here when it's ripe. What is that process like, and is it good or bad?
Well, it depends. I mean, obviously, the fruit has to be picked greener because it's shipped here on boats. Now, so and that takes a couple of weeks in a big hull of a big ship. There are jet flown varieties of peaches and nectarines out of New Zealand and sometimes out of Chile that are going to be picked more like a tree-ripe fruit. But really, your best stone fruit comes from California, right in the midst of our season.
Mm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we heard the word now.
Let's put it this way. There's plenty to eat out there. Just be a bit selective. Try and find things that look and smell good. You know, if you pick up, as you mentioned, you pick up a bunch of asparagus. If it smells bad, put it down.
Absolutely. Dan, when can they tune in your show, and where can they get it? On the internet?
First off, go to the internet. It's Dan's website. It's Produce Pair.
P-A-I-R.
P-A-I-R.com. Produce, P-R-O-D-U-C-E-P-A-I-R.com. It'll tell you more about the program, and also you can read his bi-monthly article in Alameda, and also you do an article in the
Alameda Sun newspaper.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program. We'll have to have you on a more regular basis, so we can play some games, vegetables. Thank you so much for our listeners who play the game, and thanks for listening to A Matter of Taste here on Talk 910 KNEW. We'll see you next week. Roland Pessoa will be our guest. Very exciting guy. See you then.
Talk 910 KNEW, Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose. More stimulating talk radio.